Hey, this is David Perdue from the MyNAMS Insiders Group and MyNAMS.com, Novice to Advanced Marketing System. And this is our monthly in-depth training that we do. We're calling these laser workshops, micro workshops. We have a lot of little names for these. And it's one of the main benefits for the insiders. And I love getting experts in to talk about topics that we can dig deep into. And occasionally I get to have somebody on that I've not worked with, but just known. And so this is really exciting for me to have Ross Goldberg on here. I've crossed paths with Ross many times, but we've never really worked together on anything. And so when I asked him if he would be our guest expert for traffic, since that's his big expertise, one of his big expertises, he jumped on it and this all came together and I was really excited to do it. I met Ross probably 4 years ago, I think, at a JV Alert in Orlando. We have kept loose connections ever since. So, Ross, I really appreciate you being here today and helping out with this.
My pleasure. I've always had a huge amount of respect for what you've done with your community, so I'd like to be a part of it, and this is our first step in making that happen.
It is, and actually I think we're on track to have you come to NAMS in August of 2014 to work with us as an instructor there, but we'd certainly love to have you come in February if you can make it then as well. So, if you can put it in your schedule, we'd love to have you come. So you're always welcome. Anybody with as much integrity and as much good experience as you've got, we want to have in the community. So that's great.
I look forward to it.
Okay, so Ross, what I'd like for, I know a little bit of your story. I've heard you speak a couple of times, and I know a little bit of your story, and I want you to condense your amazing story into about 5 minutes and tell people how you got to the internet and what's happened since.
Okay, so I'm an ex-gang leader and a disabled veteran. So I shouldn't say ex, I'm a retired gang leader. So I'm a very interesting combination of two very, very different things. So being a disabled veteran, I was dealing with the Iraq War. I couldn't go because I was already sick. I had fibromyalgia. So I was getting $1,000 to go through vocational rehabilitation. I was trying to find the right words. Mm-hmm. Through the Department of Veterans Affairs, and they were giving me $1,000 per month to live on. That would have been fine if I was solo, but I have a wife and three kids, so we were suffering really badly. And I was lucky enough to have wealthy relatives, many of which have passed away since then. This is about 8 years ago. And I was frustrated because I'm not a mooch or a leech. That's not my nature. I want to provide for my family myself. So eventually I got frustrated enough where I turned to my wife and I said, honey, we've got to do something because this kind of existence is terrible. So she said, well, why don't you do something on the internet? Because I was going to the university, I had to have internet in my home. It was frustrating because it was a bill we really couldn't afford to pay.
Sure.
But we didn't have a choice, so I was always tooling around. Anytime we had any extra money, if we needed something, I probably bought it on eBay. Mind you, this is 8 years ago when eBay was still really big, mm-hmm. and you could find almost anything under the sun. So I decided to put up an eBay store, and I sourced memory foam mattresses and sold them on eBay. So in our first year, we went through the typical hurdles an eBay seller goes through. We realized eBay was raping us, monetarily, of course. Roughly 10% of every sale between eBay fees and PayPal fees, so of course, the solution was to build a website. The biggest mistake I made in my business, which led to the biggest benefit, was not outsourcing or hiring out work. It meant that I had to learn everything. So I can build a website from nothing. I can do graphics, I can do HTML, I can do anything, because I didn't realize I could just pay someone some of the profit that we had to do the work that I didn't know how to do. Instead, I learned how to do everything.
Now, didn't you call that seclusion syndrome in your
Yes,
report?
I did.
That's what I thought.
Yep. Seclusion syndrome. I was convinced that there was no one else doing what I was doing, mm-hmm. and that I was the only one on earth that had the problems I was facing. So I had no intention of becoming an internet marketing teacher. I did these things and learned these things because I had to learn them for my business. So I built the ugliest website on earth and thought Google's going to find me immediately. Well, it took 6 weeks for them to index my website. Again, 8 years ago. So get the website up, and then no traffic comes, literally none. And I'm totally lost. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't realize that there, you know, are business books and all kinds of other stuff I could use to help me move forward. So I'm literally throwing as much crap and terrible ideas at the internet as I can. And what happened is over time, I realized, okay, that's not working. I'm not doing that anymore. Okay, I bought that software. It doesn't do what it promised. I'm not using that anymore. And eventually, by doing so much wrong, I was doing everything right. Mm-hmm. So I got our website to rank in Google, and I became an authority when it came to sleep and buying bedding. So the business imploded at our one-year anniversary after making roughly six figures in profit. In fact, right after I set up my business, 2 weeks later I went into a coma and awoke to $1,000 profit. Mm. I'm the only marketer alive able to claim making their first $1,000 on the internet from a coma.
There you go.
Yeah. At 1 year, the business imploded. It was gone. We got robbed by a vendor, and it's a long, complex story that 5 minutes surely does not provide the time to tell. So I turned to my wife. I said, now what? She said, well, you got good at that SEO stuff. Why don't you do that? So for 90 days, I tried to do SEO. The problem was I was still really hurt mentally from mm-hmm. the illness and the things my body was going through. And I had some rage issues. So dealing with clients was not a smart place for me to be. So about 90 days into that, I fulfilled any obligations I had and contracts I had. And I turned to my wife. I said, I can't do this anymore. I said, now what? We've had two businesses die in 90 days. She said, well, if you can't continue doing it for people, why don't you teach them how to do it for themselves? And the rest is history. So I have about 60 seconds left, and I'll try to sum up what I've done. I started as an SEO pro, but moved over to traffic over time after Google kicked me in the face repeatedly. And did the same to many of my friends who did similar things. I'm focused on generating leads and helping people do that, generating sales, etc. I'm the former VP of marketing at Stompernet, which before NAMS was the largest internet marketing community there was. I've done a dozen events. I have run a software company where we create business and mostly traffic tools. And I'm a best-selling author. I wrote The Web Traffic Book, which is on Amazon, and I'm writing the sequel, The Website Traffic Bible, right now. And I'm about to complete my end-all traffic course called The Traffic Manifesto. So obviously I've got all kinds of things going on. And my main focus now is to help people like you understand where their audience is and how to get in front of them.
Good, because that's what we all want to understand. I mean, that's the key, isn't
yes.
it?
Well, and that is the key, and the problem is there are traffic experts that I'm friends with, that I know, that I respect. The problem is no one knows what I know. Nobody. There's no one on the internet that understands what I understand because of that seclusion syndrome. Mm-hmm. Because I handled my business that way for my first year online, I have such a unique viewpoint on how the internet works. I have a background in psychology and marketing. I have no paper degrees to show anyone, mm-hmm. but from the schooling that I received from colleges and that I've applied in my business, no one can do what I can do, and nobody knows what I know. I can truly be a jack of all trades when it comes to traffic, which I'm sure you guys will discover over the next 2 hours. So it's physically impossible for anyone to understand traffic the way I do. I'm lucky enough that I'm a decent enough teacher that I can explain it so most people can understand it.
Well, what I can tell from just the way you've explained this is that you're very logical in your thinking, and you're very methodical in your presentation, which is the traits of a great teacher. So that's outstanding.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And, you know, it's something that I developed over time. The biggest thing that I faced in my business as it was growing was my ridiculous personal struggles. I've had some crazy things that I've gone through, and I had to deal with the fact that I nearly died.
Mm-hmm.
And my kids, my kids, I exist for them. My wife, I have to be here to take care of them. My mother lives with us.
Mm-hmm.
So outside of that, and you know, that really forced me to pull my head out of my behind and at least make the money to exist. Nobody knows this. I haven't even shared this with my customers, but I just came out of one of the worst professional messes I ever got myself into.
Mm.
I was involved with a startup, and I had to leave because my partners were stupid, and I'm being overly polite in stating that. I gave up 20% of a multi-million-dollar company. I believe they just broke their $1 million, and I literally built that idea.
Mm.
And it tore me up. It took me 90 days to just get out of my own funk. And now I'm back and I'm doing well. But, I mean, things were extreme. We nearly got kicked out of our home.
Wow.
Lost our cars. I mean,
wow.
It was nuts. And considering the amount of knowledge I have, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, so you
can't believe I let it go so far.
You're one of those people that puts all or nothing into things, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's 100% accurate.
Yeah, I've noticed that about you. You are an incredibly passionate guy, and you are family driven. I've known that for you about a long time, and I got to meet your wife in Orlando not long ago. And she, no wonder you're family driven. She is a really special person, and I'm sure your kids are special too. But like we were saying before we got online here, we're both blessed with women in our lives who keep us motivated and on track. I mean, that's the reason we do what we do, right?
Absolutely. I'd be nothing without her. So
we all go through tough times, and I love hearing that you've gone through a tough time and come out the other side of it, because that's incredibly important for people to understand. I was reading a post online today about from a guy who said over the last, 10 years, he'd spent $120,000 buying this and that, and was finally ready to give up because he just couldn't do it anymore. And someone jumped in there and said, you know, it's really pretty simple. If you break it down to the simplicity of things, it's find what people want, put them on a list, and make them offers. And the way you do that is finding the hot traffic, right? Finding those pools of traffic. And there's two big pieces to traffic that we want to talk about today, I think. And that is traffic and then conversion. Because traffic without conversion means nothing, right?
Well, I wrote Stompernet's final sales letter. Did $4 or $5 million in revenue, so I think we can cover some conversion stuff in here as well.
Excellent. Excellent. I knew we would do that. Okay, so the way we do this, and I didn't tell you this part, the way we do this is that we use something that I've used pretty much all my life and almost everybody in the world uses. It's what I call and you probably use it too, you just don't know it, or maybe you do know it, but it's what I call a six-step system for getting the information for setting your goals and setting your, we call it a dream, and moving through the six-step system all the way to implementation. And those six steps for us are dream, prototype, test, execute, feedback, and improve. And it's a basic circular project management methodology, basically. So we're going to look at the dream state here and talk about traffic. And basically, in this state, you know, we talk about what does it look like and what do you want. That's what we do in the dream state. Now, I've popped in. Oh, by the way, before we go any further, there, you've got a nice little report on Amazon that you call The Last Secret, I believe it was.
It's The Last Traffic Secret.
The Last,
yeah,
Traffic
99
Secret.
Cents.
Okay, good. And here's the link to get to that. It is nams.ws/last-secret. And people can go pick that up. I think it was 99 cents when I picked it up. It is an excellent little report that leads to solving that seclusion syndrome a lot. And
yes.
It was a nice report. Well done. Thank you.
Well, that's nothing. My 320-page traffic book's $4 on the Kindle. So
I saw that, too, and I've got that as well. I thought, Ross is...
Sorry about my dogs.
Ross is spilling his secrets here in this $4.99 Kindle book, and I think you call it the Bible, so it's there as well.
Well, the new one's the Bible. This one was the Okay. As in capital T-H-E, Web Traffic Book. So the new one is the Website Traffic Bible. And I'm the first one was basically SEO with traffic thrown in. Mm-hmm. This one is traffic, period. It's being written differently. So I think that everyone's going to enjoy it.
Great. Looking forward to that. You'll let us know when it's ready.
Absolutely.
Okay. So when we talk about setting up, I think getting traffic is kind of a project myself, and so when I'm talking about getting traffic and going out and finding it, driving it, I got to know why I want traffic and what I want to do with traffic. So would you talk a little bit about what people can expect if they start, and how to go about, I guess, going out to find traffic and what to do with the traffic? Do you have any starting points here?
The starting point is actually the most important, because if you do that wrong, you will fail.
Yep.
It's not a if, it's a when. Mm-hmm. And all the things that you have listed in the dream are important, but if you do the first parts wrong, mm-hmm. you can't succeed. I luckily did enough right in my initial business selling physical products where I didn't know what I was doing. Now I know all the words for what I did, mm-hmm. but I cheated everywhere I could, and that's what saved my family, built the six-figure business in a year, having no idea what I was doing. So I did it all wrong and got lucky, mm-hmm. and it was nothing but luck and a little bit of being smart. So what I would do different is what I'm going to talk about now.
Okay, great.
Because I'm actually doing that. I'm going to be honest here, something I would probably never admit to my own customers. But internet marketing is one of the ugliest industries you could possibly be in. Mm-hmm. It's filled with garbage, filled with terrible human beings who don't care about anything but money. And we are two of maybe a dozen people that have real hearts, really care for our audiences. And now I'll be completely honest, especially over summer, internet marketing is not a good business to be in.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're talking about the internet marketing...
selling internet marketing training products, etc.
Not the niche businesses that we focus on.
Correct. Okay. Not the niche type business. But I sat down with my wife and I explained to her what I was planning on doing, my takeover the internet stuff that I did initially 5-6 years ago. And I'm going to be in the internet marketing community, but we're going to build our business in other markets. So I'm actually doing some of the things I'm about to share right now for a few businesses. So the key is building your business with your audience in mind. So more connections, more conversions, more sales, that comes if you understand who your customer is. So the key is to build a customer avatar and sell to a situation. Does that make sense? So you want to build an individual. So you can do that in numerous ways. One way would be to go to a site like compete.com, where you can get information about the demographics for any larger website on the internet. If you're in tech, you know, going to see who's going to Engadget.com would be a great website whose customer avatar is very similar to yours. It's EN, not IN.
Oh, right. And what was the first site that you said? Did you say Compete?
Compete. Yep. Compete.com. Okay. Quantcast.
Right.
Quantcast.com is another site that's incredible. And these sites, you I believe for Compete, you have to create an account, mm-hmm. but it's free. They, of course, have paid stuff, but you don't need that. Now that Google's keyword tool is gone, I use WordTracker's free version to do keyword research.
Right.
Understanding the keywords you're going to discuss in your business is important as well. So what I would do with the data is I would investigate the top websites in the market I'm looking to go into using compete.com, Quantcast, and then eventually I'd get to WordTracker. But I'd use compete.com and Quantcast to build a customer avatar. And then I would build something that talks about the situation that this person is in. Because if you can create sales messaging where you're speaking along the conversation the user is already having in their own head, mm-hmm. you'll sell far more products. Mm-hmm. You'll sell way more of your stuff if you can come in line with a conversation in their head instead of having to start a new one. So that's why I call it selling to a situation. So if it's someone with back pain, you want to talk about the way you don't even necessarily – well, there's a few different ways to approach that. Number one, you could talk about the amount of pain they're in and empathize with them. But the key in selling to somebody with back pain is not just to empathize, it's to build the vision in their mind of relief. So if you can build that vision in their mind of relief with your product as part of that process that gets them there, you win.
Okay, so what we're seeing is in this dream state, what you're creating here for us at the very beginning of the goal is a very clear picture of what you want to accomplish, right?
Yes, the clear vision of what you want to accomplish is secondary to the clear vision of who you're accomplishing it for.
Sure.
Because while it's important business-wise, mind you, I'm not a business expert. I'd never teach you how to handle your money as a businessman because I'm terrible at it. But I can promise you that if you can build your business with a vision of your customer and what you're going to do for them, mm-hmm. the money will be secondary. You won't have to worry about money because once you build one business based upon these things that I'm discussing with you, you can just do it again. If there's not enough money from the first one, build another one.
Well, and you're doing that, right? You've done that over and over as well as I have. I mean, you know.
You know what? Buddy, I've had 3 or 4 implosions over the 8 years that I've been doing this, and that's because, number one, I believe in people being good. Number two, I ignored my gut reaction for a few years. And number three, I know that mistakes can also lead to your greatest successes.
Sure.
So you never know if it's going to end up being a mistake. You know, being with that startup was something that I was part of for 18 months before I left. And in February of this year when I left, it was destroying me. I was physically ill. Because I knew I had to leave this potential $1 million-plus payday. Mm-hmm. And if I hadn't done that, I would have probably killed myself over time. So I just did the right thing.
Yeah.
And it hurts and it sucks to do the right thing. But when you do it, you end up in a better place in the end.
Yep. Yep. I agree with you. I agree with you 100% on that. Okay. So... now we are. So the first thing we're going to do in our state here is to build the customer avatar, to understand the situation, and to go out and do some of our sites to find those. Now, can you talk a little bit about Compete and Quantcast and what people would find at those sites, particularly?
Sure. Well, what I want you to do is find your top competitor now. Don't necessarily think of a competitor as an e-commerce competitor. Mm-hmm. So what you want to find is your audience and who that is. So that's why if you're selling in the tech space, and Engadget is the perfect customer for you, even though all it is a blog. Mm-hmm. Not monetized very well. I don't know how much money they make. It's none of my business. Mm-hmm. However, if I was going to sell in the tech space in any way, shape, or form, I would want to know who their audience is. So at compete.com, what it does is it tells you who their audience is. It tells you whether they went to college, whether they're married, whether they're male or female, their race, whether they're college graduates, their level of education. It gives you so much data. Quantcast is very similar. It's very difficult to explain, much easier to see. So if you want to get an example, take Engadget.com as an example and run it through those two websites.
Okay.
It tells you so much information about your audience that you will then have a much easier job of empathizing, building the vision of their solution, and selling to that situation that they're in right now.
I am pulling it up on another screen on Quantcast, and I will take a look here and pull that up so people can see it.
Cool.
And if you would, So you're going to see the demographics and everything on Quantcast and Compete, but are you also going to see the traffic sources, those kind of things?
Not as much for those sites.
Okay.
That's more of a that's something you shouldn't even think about for the time being.
Okay.
Right now we're avatar building, and we don't, when we want to do competitive research, that's a process you should get into once you have all of this stuff done. And that's really easy. I want to talk about keywords before I talk about that, but I'm more than happy to go back and go into that.
Sure. Well, we can get there in just a minute. Let's take a look at, this is Quantcast, and it's at quantcast.com, and I put in Engadget, and it tells you the traffic over time. And it looks like they have chosen not to share demographics on Quantcast, which they
okay.
could do.
Well, we can pull up another one.
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to pop open my window on my end so we don't waste time here.
Okay.
Give me 1 second.
Let me see if I can look at our friend Ken.
I'll find one in the tech space for us, so give me 1 sec.
Okay.
Okay, gizmodo.com.
Gizmodo.
It's another tech blog. It's almost exactly the same as Engadget.
Okay, here we go. So this gives you real numbers about unique visits, people visits, page views, and trending on that stuff. And then your demographics, this is the gold, right?
Well, yes, and there's unique things here that are incredible, because if you take a look at that graph, scroll up just a touch, you can see that they're showing you how much of their traffic is mobile-based. So you can even plan to the point of understanding that roughly 1/4 of your traffic is going to be on their phones.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so you've got this line. When you hover over the mobile web, it shows you... that's the quantitative. So that much traffic on top is mobile. Looked like they had a huge mobile spike there.
They had a gigantic spike. That was a big tech controversy. I can't even remember what it was. But this is a website that I visit daily.
Huh.
So it's something that I can't remember what it was. But this Quantcast, now we can scroll down and get to the good stuff. You can literally envision who your customer is with the data that they provide here. This graph is lovely, but the good stuff's here. Mm-hmm. This is the good stuff. So we can see that the audience is 75% male. We can see that a majority of the audience is between 18 and 40. We can see that many of them have no kids. Now, that would make sense because they're tech freaks. They're gadget junkies. When you don't have children, it's a lot easier to spend endless amounts of money on crap you don't need.
Mm-hmm.
So you can also see that their audience is split between two main chunks, which is broke and wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the dreamers, and then there's the buyers. So who would you want to target? Well, I'll target the wealthy people. Now, that means that you would use slightly more elaborate vocabulary. You could be a little more eloquent because... these people, at least, we're talking, let's see here, I have to do the math, 80% are either college or grad school graduates.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can see that a huge amount of their audience is Asian,
mm-hmm.
which, without being racist, does somewhat make sense.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a complete vision of how to build your traffic getting stuff to attract this audience. If you talk above someone who isn't educated, you should be able to qualify your audience in any content you release just by doing that. And that's something you would want to do for business because it makes perfect sense. You don't want traffic that isn't qualified to buy your product.
Right. So
you also want to talk to someone around the 20 to 40 range, and you don't want you aren't necessarily targeting the baby boomer type individuals.
Right.
So this gives you all the data you need to build your customer avatar right here. I want you, if you do this, to go it, which I strongly recommend, to go as far as finding a picture that gives you a face for this individual. If it's female, then obviously get a lady's picture. If it's male, get a male's picture. This is just for you. Something that you can use to envision who you're speaking to. It will make it much easier when creating content.
Mm-hmm. You know, I engaged a new coach, a really well-known guy, and I believe everybody should have a coach, about 4 months ago, maybe. And the first thing we did was work on the avatar for my business. And it was really revealing who my audience was, the one that's coming and the one that I wanted to really focus on as well. It's really enlightening, and you can do your business completely differently once you understand the avatar of your business. So sometimes it's an after-the-fact thing. If you haven't done it, you will naturally migrate to a certain group of people, and that may be the right group or not the right group. But you can always build an avatar of who you are actually attracting now and an avatar of who you would like to attract if you are wanting to change your business. But both are really helpful.
Scroll down just a touch more. I forgot that they even had this. Again, I'm about to go through this process, so I'm still discovering some of the things I can get from these websites. So you can see how often their traffic returns. You can see what else they're interested in. Now, MySpace and Facebook isn't going to help you. However, the commerce stuff can. They're interested in food. They're interested in insurance. So if you were doing a blog trying to take Gizmodo's audience and feed them into your tech site where you're selling stuff, you could use ads for insurance or food.
Mm-hmm.
And those would get more clicks because that's what the audience is interested in. Which, I don't know about you guys, but that sounds insane to me. However, this is based upon quantitative data. It is a fact.
The numbers don't lie.
Yeah, absolutely. And those are things that I never would have thought of. But I would instantly, upon seeing them on this website, I would head right over to, now I can't remember the name of the darn website. Any of the larger affiliate, CJ.com.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Commission Junction. I would immediately go to them and find some insurance companies and apply for them, to be an affiliate. And then you can see things like the traffic frequency and other stuff like that. But why don't we move on to compete.com and throw in the same URL?
Okay. And while we're doing that, Art has a question here. So how do you find the places, blogs in your market that are the Gizmodo type authority sites?
Wait a second. This site gives that.
Okay, good. And let's see, that was Gizmodo, MODO.com. Search.
I don't know how much data it's going to give us if you're not logged in.
You know, I'm not sure that I have an account here.
Yeah, I figured, but we'll see. We'll see what they provide.
Yep.
And hopefully it's enough so everyone can see how valuable and useful the data is.
Okay. Actually, this is pretty useful already.
There we go. So you can see that Lifehacker is far more popular than Gizmodo.com, and it's a very similar audience. Wired is slightly more popular. TechCrunch, I would write off. That's more investor data on the tech space.
Mm-hmm.
However, notice the original site we were looking at, Engadget, mm-hmm. is a less popular version of the same blog in the same marketplace. Mm-hmm. So what Compete.com does is it gives you a little bit of data on the website. I found that it's a little more exact when it comes to traffic data, if that's something you're looking at and want to see. But the competitive rank is the most useful thing here.
Yeah, so let me just say, with just the information you've given us so far, and just understanding Facebook just a little bit, it seems to me to make complete sense that if I want to go out there and target an ad on Facebook or a sponsored post or whatever I go do on Facebook and say I want to send it only to people who like lifehacker.com, I have tapped into that target market. I have tapped into that traffic.
You are absolutely right.
So that's why we want to know these.
And Wired is another one that's huge popularity.
Sure.
It may not get as much traffic as Lifehacker, but that magazine is incredible. Anytime I travel, I buy Wired so I can read it on the plane.
Sure.
So, anyways, these two websites, along with Alexa.com, a lot of people write off Alexa because it's gameable, meaning that a website can cheat Alexa and get better Alexa rankings. But here's the thing. When you're looking for the true leaders in a market, they're not trying to game Alexa. They're too big. They don't care. It's when you're playing little games that Alexa can be gamed. So when you're looking for data on a website, Alexa works really well.
Yeah, and see, and I love Alexa because it gives me an idea of not only what the demographics are on my own site. This is mynams.com. I've popped in here. And it gives me a good basis of what the demographics are for our site. It also gives me pretty accurate daily page views and daily time on the site. And these are really good numbers for mynams.com. You know, to be 8,500 rank in the U.S. is really good, so I'm excited about that. We have been as low as 5,000.
Well, this is something that you should use later for your own website, but when you're doing competitive research, it's not quite as clear as Quantcast or Compete. Mm-hmm. Their data is a little harder to read, and it takes a little getting used to.
Right.
But when you're dealing with, you know, the top 100,000 websites on the internet, and that's all you're really looking for, which is all you really should look for on Alexa anyways, you're going to get just a ton of useful data from Alexa.
Mm-hmm. Right. I agree. And it's and they have
need to get you on a new server. Your load speed's terrible.
I know. We're on a new server. We have so much going on in the background of our site. We continue to work on building that, improving that, but it is so much, so many moving parts back there.
Oh, I get it. I was building something similar not too long ago, so I can relate.
Yep. Okay, so these are three good sites for us to look at. Always is Quantcast and Compete and Alexa. And Art, I hope that helped answer your question about how to find competitors. And of course, Google search is always another way to get started, that you can find competitors for your own site. Would you do backlinking, understanding backlinking to find competitors as well?
What I do in competitive research is probably exhaustive to a point that most people don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
But I will go to Google and I will type in the most generic term in a marketplace that I can think of. One of them that I'm dealing with right now is massage chairs.
Okay.
So what I'm looking for is weakness. And I see weakness differently than most. I see businesses different than most. So I'll share that before I go into what I do with Google as far as competitive research.
Okay.
But I view everyone in a market that's making any money at all as taking food, literally. I have this picture in my mind. This company literally taking food out of the mouths of my children. And what that does is I'm fueled by rage. It's not a natural existence. It's from my history.
Mm-hmm.
It's from the way I was brought up and the way that I existed for many, many years. And if I can build just a little rage, not I want to tear someone's head off physically, but see these people as an enemy, that helps me Excel. So for me, I go to Google, I put in the most generic keywords I can, and I look for weakness. And what I'm looking for are the things that rank on page one. If I see a Wikipedia entry, that is weakness. If I see Amazon listings, that is a weakness. What else? I'm trying to think. Let me do that now on my end.
Tell me why you think those are weakness.
I will get into that, I swear.
Okay.
Walmart, you look up massage chairs, Walmart is number one. Mm-hmm. That is a weakness.
Okay.
Brookstone is number one. That is a weakness. Amazon is number three. Weakness. eBay, that's a weakness.
Interesting. So that, most people would be scared off.
Sharper image. No. Here's the deal. Walmart doesn't have an SEO company.
Mm-hmm.
Brookstone doesn't have an SEO company. Amazon does not have an SEO company, especially somebody optimizing. They're basically category pages. I'm looking at the search for massage chairs. Your results may not be the same as mine. Google operates differently depending on your location and different data centers.
Sure.
However, none of the companies that I'm seeing here are doing any smart marketing. So that shows weakness to me. There are 7 million results for massage chairs. That's nothing. If there were 1 billion results, I would say, you know, maybe I don't want to fight with that. But I also don't fear competition. I mean, you guys may want to avoid someone with a market where there's 7 million competitors. For me, I'm cool with it.
Okay.
So I'm looking for these big box retailers. If they're on page one, that's weakness. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm targeting massage chairs for pain. That's the keyword term that I'm going to target and eventually own all of Google for. And I'll go over my strategy for that in a few moments. We'll get back to it. So what I find in those keywords is weakness. I find large weakness because massage chairs, that's a pretty targeted search, actually. It's a lot less generic than most markets. So if you look, if I was still selling SEO as a service, I would Google SEO and see what's there. That's different. When you're dealing with an e-commerce type mentality, what you're looking for are the list of sites that we've got there.
Mm-hmm.
If you find them, then it's very easy for you to become a focused brand, put out great content, and get noticed in that marketplace. Because the big box retailers, outside of maybe Amazon, I know I probably spent $500 there this week.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't go there for this kind of thing. Massage chairs are a really big purchase.
Right.
So what I'm building is actually an Amazon affiliate website with excess data.
Mm-hmm.
I'm adding data. And I used a script, and then I also used a plugin for WordPress to automatically build content through a blog. And I believe within a period of 6 months, I'm going to own that market.
And so what you're doing is out-Amazoning Amazon.
Yes.
Okay.
I am outdoing Amazon. I'm playing Amazon's game, and I'm going to win.
Okay.
So the script that runs my website, I'm not going to mention it because there are dozens of them.
Sure.
The script that runs my website pulls information from Amazon on a daily basis. Once a week, I go in and delete any weird stuff it pulls, and I'm slowly building it. I've done no marketing. I've done no link building. Google's indexed the website, which surprised me because I haven't put it out anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I've done no marketing for it yet because I'm still researching. I'm going to share some really cool stuff here shortly. I know we're limited to 2 hours, and I could talk for 20, but... basically, I have a very simple destroy the competition strategy that leverages what they've already done to do more and do better. So we'll get to that soon.
Okay.
So why don't we talk a keyword strategy? Because I could talk about research for 2 hours, and that's not going to leave with anybody really having enough to do.
Okay, keywords would be great because I think keywords is something that people don't really understand all that much. And I believe keywords are the key to understanding the situation that you want to sell to.
Yes.
Okay.
That is very true. So if you go to wordtracker.com, I'm going to put in massage chairs just as an example, and they give you some basic results automatically. You don't need an account for some basic results. I recommend creating the free trial or whatever and getting at least a free account for WordTracker. What I do with this data that I pull here is very simple, and it doesn't need to be complicated. You're looking for what's called long tail terms, anywhere from 4 to 6 words per phrase. And when you find them, what you're looking for are things you can use when creating content. So I'm looking at the results for massage chairs. Number one is massage chairs, obviously. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of volume in this market, but the best part about keyword research is you can find things that are indications of buying. So best massage chairs is one of the keywords that's listed here. That's not necessarily the keyword you would want to rank for, because that's a research keyword term.
Mm-hmm.
Cheap massage chairs. Again, that's a research keyword term. I am actually targeting cheap massage chairs with my website. However, human touch massage chairs, that is a buyer keyword.
Because that's a brand.
The difference is what they're, it's specific.
Okay.
Top massage chairs 2013. Massage chairs Costco, you don't want to target because you're not Costco and you cannot beat them. iJoy massage chairs are a brand that's already all over my website.
Okay.
So that makes sense that I would create some content on that brand and rank for the term. Mattress firm massage chairs, totally don't want to rank for that. So what it does is it gives you some idea. You're looking for ideas of terms that are actually being searched. And that's the most important information that you can get, and you can get a lot of that on WordTracker for free.
So would shiatsu massage chairs be one that you want to do because it's specific about shiatsu?
Yes.
Okay.
The more specific, the better. Words like cheap, words like best, those can lead to revenue. So I'm not saying they're something I would never target, but they're just not perfect. What you want to do is start generating revenue. And to do that, the more specific, the better.
Okay.
It's also going to be a lot easier to get traffic from keywords that are way more specific because there's less competition. If there's 10 searches a day for iJoy massage chair, if I rank number one, I'm going to get 5 to 7 clicks off of that per day.
Well, so here's an example. Heat massage chairs, I've highlighted on the screen. It's 7 searches. Now, is that a day or a week or a month or a year?
I believe that's per day.
Okay. So heat massage chairs, 7 searches, and zero competitive pages. I think that's competition. 0 competitive pages and no tagging in the anchor or title, which is what IAAT stands for. No in anchor and in title. And which means it has a KEI of 100, and that's their competitive index, right? So what that's saying is if you rank for that, you're going to own that.
Yes.
Okay.
So you may only get a few clicks per day, but I'm telling you, one decent blog post with a little bit of social sharing on it, meaning it's some WordPress plugin that just allows it, one blog post targeting that term could be enough to have that ranking and keep it pretty much forever.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's such low volume of searches, you could do that for 30 different terms over a period of a month with one post a day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the smart way of thinking about it. What you're looking for is specificity. The more specific, the better. And competition is important, but when you're dealing with a market like massage chairs, it's so wide open that you really don't have to worry about it.
Sure.
What you have to worry about now is going up against me. Probably not the smartest thing for you to do.
Right.
But for me, when I did my initial research and bought my initial domain, I bought massagechairsforpain.com. And the website is very much a work in progress. And please don't go to Amazon. Don't click on anything and buy anything from Amazon through me. My point in sharing it with you is not...
Mm-hmm.
To brag or tell you go buy my stuff. or Amazon stuff through me. What I'm doing is showing you a very, very much work-in-progress project where I did most of this stuff already. And what I do is I look for the most specific keyword terms I can find, and sometimes I will target some I don't even find here. Mm-hmm. Or combine them. Because if there's one search a month where it leads to a sale, it's worth my time to have an article created and put it up, because even it odds are I'm going to outsource 90% of the content for this.
Okay.
$5 an article, I use iWriter.com.
Okay.
And I can then take that article, record it as a video, record it as a podcast if I want, etc.
Okay, so now you're getting into something that I think is really important for us to understand, because we're talking about keywords here, and we're talking about ranking for search engine traffic, but now you're telling us that there's more content to be created so that the purpose of that, the purpose of creating more content for that is fill in the blank there, Ross. Tell us why you're doing that.
Content is the heart of the internet.
Okay.
It truly is. So using these keyword terms to figure out content that you want to create is really what your end goal should be. Mm-hmm. So what I do during my keyword research is start building article titles. And if I get stuck, my secret swipe file for article titles is cracked, cracked.com. They are the best. They write the best titles I've ever seen on any blog. Now, some of their stuff isn't safe for work, so be careful.
Oh, I've been there. But, oh, yeah. It's kind of a wild site.
Yes, it's a very wild website. Very high-quality content, but a little out there.
Yep.
However, their titles are the best I've ever seen.
Okay.
So I will go there to get ideas for titles if I get stuck. But let's see. 5 reasons you want a heated massage chair, or you want heat in your massage chair. Mm-hmm. What I do with iWriter that I don't believe anybody else does is I give them the title. So when ordering content through iWriter, I actually provide them the whole title, because that way I've found I get a much higher quality article because I'm being super specific. If I just typed in heat massage chairs, it's going to be spammy and it's going to look spammy. Mm-hmm. So if I go to iWriter, instead of giving them a keyword for an article I want written, I actually give them the title of the article. That is my keyword. So it tells them exactly what the article has to be. And I found that ordering the $4 to $5 an article range, you get incredibly high quality content from smart people.
Okay. That was, let me get clear on a couple of things here. iWriter.com is the place that you're talking about, right?
Yes. And that's, by the way, that's roughly 2 to 3 years of buying content experience mm-hmm. that it has led me to them. Mm-hmm. I get the highest quality articles for the least investment through them.
Okay.
The only other way to do it where you're not spending $10 to $20 an article is to hire a writer. Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that you you mentioned, and we have a question about, was cracked.com. Now, that was, do you say that was K-R-A-C-K-E-D?
C-R-A-C-K.
C-R-A-C-K-E-D, right?
Correct.
I'll clean up these notes here in a second. Cracked.com, like that.
Correct.
Okay, and that was a, we need a PG-13 on this one.
Yes.
PG-113, how about that? Nope, that doesn't work. Okay. All right. So you've looked at keywords, you've chosen keywords, now you go into motion creating content around those keywords, and the reason you're creating content, and you mentioned videos and audios and slide shares and...
Well, there's one more step before okay. we go to that, because that we could probably finish the rest of the hour on.
Okay.
But there's one more thing I'm doing that I've never heard anybody talk about before. So basically, you guys are getting most of my traffic course right here.
Ooh, wow.
Well, that I don't hold back.
That's great.
If I did, I wouldn't have the respect that I've earned over the years.
Yep.
So The one thing that I do that I don't know anybody else who does is I view my competitor's content as much as possible. So once you go through that competitive research process, I will start Googling the URL of their website to see what's linking back to their site. Now, I'm not talking about Amazon. I'm talking about little niche-based websites. So I'll start drilling down through my keyword list as I go. And what I do is find where their links are coming from. And you'll find that there are plenty of sites where there's no data whatsoever. It's just a backlink somewhere in some random location. However, as long as you're really specific, you will see their content. And odds are their content is garbage. So what I do is I take the key data. This is called swiping. I take the key data from their content, and I make sure that any content that I either create or order is at least 10 times better. So I provide total value in the content that I put out. And in doing that, I create a more loyal and faithful audience by providing true solutions to their problems. So if you go to my blog, you can Google my name, and it's number one. You'll see the quality of content that I post. And there's a lot of promotional material leading to my products, so feel free to ignore those. But the content, the actual content, not something leading to buy my stuff, it's miles beyond what most of my competition is creating, and that's because I want to create a better customer. So in this market, the internet marketing niche, or whatever you want to call it, I'm trying to think of how to word this properly. I curse a lot, so I'm muting my
Thank you very much for that.
Yes, no worries. I can be business-like here and there. I used to use this traffic as a search engine magnet, or this website as a search engine magnet. So I've redone this blog 3 times over the years, and I found that I was getting a ton of 404 traffic. So go to /1, the number one, and it should redirect you to my favorite post. This is just a plug-in that I've set up.
Oh, this is brilliant. I see where you're going with this already. This is really brilliant.
Okay.
All right.
So I was getting so much 404 traffic, and they weren't being sent anywhere specific, so I built a purely content article, and now anytime anyone hits a 404 page on my blog, they automatically go to this really high-quality article. There are no links to buy my stuff, I don't think. I do something nobody else does, and this is something that may be worthwhile listening to. So what I do is I don't require opt-ins to see anything anytime I do something. So you can see that there are some fairly authoritative individuals leaving comments.
Yeah, there. I noticed that.
Jim Donovan, yeah. Warren Whitlock, Frank Rumboskis. They were researching me. I'm friends with all three of them, so who knows why they were doing that.
Mm-hmm. And Warren.
I haven't viewed that page in ages. That's really funny.
Yeah.
The reason I did this was because I understand what's going on my website, and I had to set something up to build goodwill in the marketplace. And that's way more important to me than building leads, because what happens is whenever an affiliate promotes my stuff, they make more money because people know who I am. And I'm happy with that. I don't necessarily, in fact, the opt-in that you can see auto-filled with the Facebook information, I added that a month ago.
Mm-hmm. And here
it wasn't even there.
That's how easy it is to get on your Facebook list. So there you go.
Yes. So you can see that.
To confirm your subscription, please go to
what I'm doing just from showing you this. And the reasoning behind the way I build my business was because I am not as worried about building a massive list as I am building an appreciative and awesome list. So anyways, let's go back to the map and get back on track, because we're going to run out of time before we know what happened.
We always do. All right, so I think you were telling us about Googling your competitors' URLs is where we left off.
Yes. Basically, swipe your competitors' content and make sure yours is just way better. It's that simple. So,
and when you say swipe, what you're saying here about swipe is modeling your competitors' content. What you're doing is taking the basic content and going out and rewriting and rebuilding and doing whatever needs to be done to make it so much better. Because if you swipe it, of course, you're swiping the concept, but if you swipe the content, one, that's not ethical, but two, you're just swiping bad content.
Well, yeah, it's illegal.
Yeah.
You can actually get sued if you just take someone's content and put it on your website without following certain norms in
right.
the industry. So, you know, you can take an article from easingarticles.com and post it on your website.
Right.
Number one, it's silly. What you should be doing at Easing Articles is finding the best content they have on their website and outdoing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's way smarter. So now I've given you what to do next. Go to crack.com, take the title of a good article that you find, completely rewrite it using their framework, go to iWriter, pay $4, and have someone write you 7 reasons to buy a massage chair that massages your calves or whatever.
Okay, so if you don't...
In doing that, you'll...
No, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Ahead. Nope. Well, in doing that, you'll be, slowly and surely, you will be a mile ahead of your competition. They won't be able to compete with you. Because you'll have better content, and that just makes you win.
So what you've given us, basically, here is a checklist. That's what I was going to say, is you've given us a checklist of how to get started creating content that's going to outrank your competitors.
Yes.
Okay. That's outstanding.
Now let's talk about what we do with that content when we receive it. So we're at a time where on the internet, our audiences are doing what suits them, not what suits us. And I've been saying this for about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Create your content in every format you can imagine. And now the internet's evolved, so those formats are even clearer than before. So once you get an article, that can become a blog post or something you submit to article directories. But you should build an audio version. You should build a video version. You should build an infographic version. There's no reason not to. And that then gives you more ways to distribute that content. Video syndication is very simple. Take your video, describe it a few different ways, and put it on 5 to 10 different video sharing websites.
Now, do you use
an audio? You can do this with a video as well.
Mm-hmm.
Create a podcast. That's done through a simple WordPress plugin. All you need is a WordPress blog and a plugin, and you've got a podcast. Submit it to iTunes by actually having iTunes on your computer. You're untouchable. iPods are the same as iPhones.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you, but having Apple customers as customers of mine makes me very happy.
Oh, yeah.
Because they spend money.
If you want dedicated, loyal customers who are rabid, those are the ones.
Well, I'll tell you, I was the first outside of, I believe, TweetDeck, and maybe Mike Filzaim. I think he had an Adobe Air tool, but he paid like $25,000 for it. Mine cost me a few thousand.
Mm.
So I was one of the first to use Adobe Air to create software because I now am a Mac convert.
Mm-hmm.
I just spent $3,000 on a new iMac last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't make any comments about your Windows computer.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
But I'll tell you, we 2 or 3 years ago spent $10,000 as a household to switch over every computer we had to Macs.
Mm-hmm.
So my point in that is that getting into iTunes is kind of a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
Because those people are starving for content. So take your best content and turn it into a podcast. And here's a pretty unique strategy as far as podcasting is concerned. Podcasting, most people think that they have to do a new podcast every week or every 2 weeks or every month. A smarter way to do podcasts is to target it on a specific problem and create a solution, no matter what you sell. So my father had a menswear website, and we talked about all kinds of different ways for him to better market his business and create more loyal customers. His conversion rate was one of the worst I'd ever seen. So one of the ideas, I said, Dad, take a man through the process of buying a suit on the internet and create a podcast and give it away. It's completely free. And if it's a problem someone's facing, the odds of – by the way, any podcast you create ends up on Apple's website, which is hugely – it has a gigantic amount of authority. So if you keyword optimize it properly, build 5 decent links to it, you should rank for almost anything you want on Apple's website. So once you understand your customer avatar and the situation they're in, you create content that leads them to buying your stuff. So to create a podcast along those lines only makes sense.
So when you say keyword optimize and 5 links to it and a specific problem with specific solution, this is kind of a, again, a mini checklist for each of these pieces of content, right?
Sure. Well, you can do the same with articles. You can do the same with blog posts. You can do the same with videos.
Right.
What if you created a YouTube channel where the username was the problem? It just makes sense. So you should have that content available in all of these different formats. The main secret is to ensure that you're not simply reading off of your article. You want to understand the content or have someone record the video for you that understands the content well enough to just talk about it. So you could create a PowerPoint or a keynote document leading you through that process, but you have to understand it enough to do this properly. You have to understand the concept enough to go off on tangents and be able to come back and complete the idea.
Okay.
That's the key to successful video marketing. And you can put that video also, if you do it as a PowerPoint, you can put it on SlideShare, which is a very popular website where people go to find out how to solve a problem.
Okay.
So once you get these individual pieces of content created, that's when you just start putting it out there as far and as wide as you can.
Okay.
Having an infographic created, that can be really expensive. But if you understand graphics, you can buy infographic elements for very little money and build it yourself.
Yeah, and there's actually some pretty good tools out there now that you can subscribe to for fairly cheaply to build as many as you want.
Well, we're actually creating the first infographic development tool.
And
we'll call it infographic marketing tool, and we've included something no one else has done, and that's the ability to build the data you need for the infographic. Because that's really the core of what an infographic is.
Sure.
It's a graphic that leads you through a series of data points that lead you to an end result, which is hopefully buying the person's product. So most infographics are built terribly, and they don't understand persuasion very well. But if you can, our tool is the only one that helps with the data gathering process. We have a wireframing tool where you can actually build it, like the outline what data goes where. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's the submission process, which is built in too. So
when is that available?
Anyway, that's going to be out. That's a when it's done, because we have actually some really big new features in that.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a traffic tool or some form of it for many years, and that's the latest development of it. That's the newest version. We just released a video version, and we have, of course, our what I would call generic version, which is pretty much submit anything.
Okay.
So, anyways.
This has been really good so far, that you're just giving us a lot of specifics that we can get into. Now, we have several people online, and I want to make sure that if they have any questions, they get those in here so that they can follow what we're doing and where we're headed. So if you have questions, make sure you get them in here, and Angie and I will watch for you about this to make sure we get Ross's take on whatever your question is. Now, we've talked about building content and driving as much traffic to that content as possible. Are we ready to move to the next step?
Yeah.
Okay. And we've got a checklist here that shows us that we've done keywords, we've done figured out our competitor URLs, we've done iWriter to build the content, we've looked at crack.com to get good headlines for some of our things and some content, and we've created content in every format that we want. Now let's drive traffic to it and tell us how we're going to do that.
Well, that is traffic. That content is how you're getting traffic.
Getting it posted in the right places is key, right?
What was that?
Getting it posted in the right places is key, correct?
Yes. Well, and that's going to be any place. Here's the secret, and remember this, write it down, tattoo it on your forehead. Every website that receives content is a search engine. Every website itself that receives content is a search engine. So as someone who has traffic products, it would make sense for me to build the best Squidoo lens on getting traffic possible.
Okay.
And hopefully I could do that by taking all this content I created and formatting it into one big thing. And over time, as long as I'm awesome enough, which I don't have a problem with, I should end up with the best lens on getting traffic on Squidoo.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be your kind of goal. And Squidoo is just an example. SlideShare is another one. That's a great website that you want content on for what you do, to solve the problem that your products solve. Every single website like that. So Easy in Articles, you want to be the best article on how to get traffic to your website. You want to be the best Squidoo lens, the best hub page, the best blogger blog, the best Tumblr blog. If a website can take content, you want content on it, period.
Cool.
So these are literally examples. They're not you must get on these.
Sure.
But, you know, YouTube is the second biggest search engine on the internet, and all it is a website. But just because YouTube's number one, does that mean you should ignore the rest? Absolutely not. Vimeo is huge. SlideShare is huge. Daily Motion is huge.
Yeah, I'm writing all these down just as starting points.
Sure. Well, and they're great examples. I'm using the bigger ones.
Mm-hmm, sure.
For podcasts, if you have a podcast up and do what we talked about before, I believe our tool has 90 podcast directories built in.
Wow.
That's how many different websites you can use to syndicate your podcast and help it get more attention. And I'll tell you a little secret. Those podcast directories rank like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
For a keyword-optimized podcast, ranking in Google, you couldn't get it any easier than that. All of them rank like crazy. Some of them have page ranks of 6, 7, 8. So getting a backlink from them only makes sense. Now, let me take a side jaunt. I need to talk about SEO and what's working today. I don't teach SEO anymore because I find it very limiting.
Mm-hmm.
But if I don't give you this information, you will do all the stuff that I've given you so far wrong. Let me repeat that. If I don't give you the information that I'm about to give you, you will do everything that I've told you so far wrong. The secret to make Google happy right now when it comes to SEO is to ensure that 75 to 80% of the links that point to your website are a combination of two things. One is the naked URL, which is http://url.com. The other one is website.com, whatever your website is called. That's the secret to SEO right now. That's it. You should still distribute your content everywhere you can. You should still build links any way that you're comfortable with. That is the secret. Google is sick and tired of us SEO people ranking easily on Google because we cost them a buttload of money.
Sure.
So they're making it more and more difficult. However, at first, I stood still. when they first started making drastic changes to the way SEO worked, I wouldn't do anything because I didn't know what the heck was going to work. So I watched, and I slowed down, and I started thinking about common sense. And this is probably the most important thing you'll get from me in this training. Market your business in a way that makes sense, not to SEO it in any way.
Right. So when you say naked links, describe that again. Naked links were?
Naked links is just http://url.com.
Okay.
Or www.url.com, right. Whichever you use. Now, something really important. Google understands that. If you use the www, either use it or don't, period.
Right.
Because Google considers those two different websites. So what you're doing is cutting your work in pieces, making your job harder if you vary between them. Just pick one and stick with it always.
Okay. I'm having a hard time typing this, obviously.
Well, I'm giving you lots of stuff. It's not your fault.
You are. I appreciate that. And so does everybody else here, by the way. Pat says, this is totally awesome content. I'm feeling much more confident about moving ahead. And Art says, so to use these techniques, we need to have access to the tools or to make the submissions happen. Right. That's a question, right? And
you do not know. Let me elaborate. You can do this all by hand. You don't need my software.
Right.
I would never do that.
Okay.
I would never do that. I have no ulterior motives. I don't care if any of you ever buy anything from me. I'm here because I know more than anybody else, and I'm helping. That's what I want you to think of. If you want more info from me, of course you can get it out there. There's all kinds of stuff. But none of my tools are needed to do the stuff we're talking about. You can do it all by hand if you want. I would not do that. That's not that. David knows that. That's not how I operate.
I think his point is, do we need to have tools to make these submissions versus being able to do these submissions by hand? I think his question is that the submissions have to happen, but is it better to do it by tools or by hand?
Here's the problem. Here comes the software creator.
Yeah.
My tools are not robots. They're human-powered, and we develop them that way for two main reasons. Number one, robots break.
Right.
So things like SE Nuke, they have a team of programmers that have to work every day to keep that software viable and functional for its users. That's why they have to charge $150 to $300 a month.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long many of you have been doing this kind of thing, but there was a product called Traffic Geyser that was a video submission tool, and at first it worked really well. And then YouTube realized that they were getting nothing but garbage content from 90% of the people that were using that software.
Mm-hmm.
So they started identifying where the IP addresses were that these things came from. The way Traffic Geyser worked, you would upload your video to their server, and then it would send out your video to all the video directories.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the problem is that's the same IP addresses that spam artists were using to submit their content. So I talked to roughly half a dozen different marketers that had their accounts shut down and had to fight with YouTube to get their accounts turned back on because some dirty spammer was using Traffic Geyser unethically.
Mm-hmm.
So when we built my original software 5 years ago, it's obviously evolved over 5 years, but it's still the same main idea. We created software that was semi-automated, human-powered, and unblockable.
Mm-hmm.
Over time, we also made it unbreakable. It's not fully automated.
Mm-hmm.
So my tools are useful if you understand that a little blood, sweat, and tears will help your business far more than pushing a button and walking away from a computer. And ethically, I wanted to help my audience without having to have a team of programmers charge monthly or that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was I built my own market. There aren't tools like mine. It's the only one. And I've made a very large amount of money over time because people keep coming to me and saying, Ross, can we have a version of your software to sell to our customers?
Mm-hmm.
So now that we've done our business aside, we should go back to this stuff. Is it great to use software? It's awesome to use software. It saves time. It helps guide you toward the right websites. Is it mandatory? Of course not. Mm-hmm. You do whatever makes you happy. If you want to do it all by hand and have total control, that's a great thing to have. That's what I did for years. And I see nothing wrong with it. In fact, I do recommend it, at least at first. Because you need to understand what you're trying to do before you get software to automate a process that you don't understand.
Well, and once you start seeing results with some of the hand submissions you do, then you're going to want to scale. And often that, and I'm like you, I've bought a ton of software tools that either died because they weren't updated or didn't really do what I wanted them to do, because you're always looking for the shorter, faster way. And sometimes I think the best way to get things done in a scalable solution is to actually hire people to help you do that. And so that's another alternative as well.
Yes. That's a smart alternative. We actually built our tools with outsourcers in mind.
Right, right.
You know, we give multiple licenses for that kind of thing. So I totally agree.
So we got a couple more questions here before we move to the next thing. And one is, Pat says, on the 75 to 80%, what is the difference between the website.com URL as I have it, whatever your website is, and the naked links, the HTTP?
Okay, so this is what your link will look like. I'm actually going to type this into the chat for everyone to see. So these obviously aren't going to be anchor text links. So I always do my website url.com with the HTTP. I never use www. Because it's unnecessary.
I don't either.
So this is what the other one looks like. Oh, no. How did that because I put a .com. Basically, remove the HTTP on the second one. That's what your anchor text link should look like. Anchor text is the word, having a word link to your website.
Okay, so explain anchor text, because we've introduced another term here.
Okay, anchor text. If... click here that I just typed. Oh, it only went to organizers. Okay.
I'm doing it. I got it here on the screen. Click here. And what would follow that?
That is supposed to be an anchor text link. If you make that into a link, that's the words inside the link, and that's called anchor text.
Okay.
What Google has done in their most recent updates is make over-optimized links negative. That's not a good thing. So if you have all keywords and all the links that point to your website, number one, it's very unnatural. Number two, it's obvious that you're trying to SEO your website. So what Google has done has made that, they've made that ineffective. So the anchor text, the actual words inside your link, has to be 75 to 80% the things that I just told you.
Okay.
Website.com. Where it says click here, it should say website.com, and then the naked links are just the actual link itself.
So this would be an example of an anchor text, mynams.com.
Yes.
Okay.
Perfect. And you can actually capitalize things in there if you want. That has no negative impact at all.
And I'm clicking.
So what that has done... what Google has done is put a lot more weight on the actual content in your website. So it's important to have something like a blog, or at least the ability to add pages to your website that are content-based as well.
Okay, so this is what you're calling a naked link, http://mynames.com.
Correct.
Okay. And both of them would be
linking to the exact same location.
Exactly.
75 to 80% of the links that you're building to your website should have that anchor text.
Okay, does that help, Pat? Do you understand that now? Okay. And Arthur is saying, and I don't this kind of got my hair on the back of my neck stood up when I read this. So it says, why are you using autoblog content since the success of your sites is based on handwritten and unique content? I think he's assuming that because you're getting information from Amazon on some of these sites that it is autoblog. Go ahead and explain and talk about that a little
it's
bit.
It's not an autoblog. Okay. Actually, I have a content rewriter rewriting all the content. I am adding my own unique content, and I'm using something called, my brain's not functioning properly. Give me 1 second. I can't think of the right word. I swear I'll get there in one moment.
Wait till you get to be my age.
No, it's a really, this is actually really, really important. It's, curation.
Oh, yeah.
So I have a software that what it's doing is pulling content based upon my topic into my blog, and it's doing it in an automated fashion. Over time, if you went to my massage chair website, you'll see that I haven't customized it much yet. That's because I'm still doing research, and I'm only giving myself 15 to 20 minutes a day for that business, so it builds itself over time. I've got plenty of money. What I'm building is a business, and I want to do it the right way, and I want to do it slowly over time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to remove the overly automated garbage. If anything is garbled, I'll rewrite it. But right now, you're seeing the very raw, where it looks like almost an auto blog type site. It's not. It won't be when I'm done. Mind you, I'm also doing zero marketing for the website. So outside of you guys, no one has ever seen it. I haven't even shared it with my own customers. So it's a hybrid strategy where I'm using automated content building to add to the uniqueness of the website that I'm planning right now. So I could understand your slight concern because that does not coincide with my standard strategy of being unique is better.
Yes.
But it's kind of a hybrid, and it's something I'm testing.
Arthur says, no offense, I meant just trying to understand your methods, and I understood that he was, my concern was not about being offensive. My concern was about not understanding auto-blogging as a term. That is a terrible way to build a website. But you're talking about is completely different. So that's really why I wanted you to address that.
Sure. No, I'm happy to. I'm glad that these questions are here because it helps me. So I'm down.
Sure. Okay. So now we've got a lot of content built and people should have content already because we have been talking about this for a while now. They should be doing the content based on some of the techniques that we've talked about here, keyword discovery and optimization. And now all of these locations that we're driving traffic to as well, submitting to traffic distribution sites, all the various ways that you're building content here. Let's talk about conversions. Are you ready to move to conversions? Or have we missed something?
I think it's something we should come back to. We skipped conversions when we should have done.
Okay.
Let's save that for the end. There's one more thing I want to talk about. So I want to talk about, let's see here. I don't think they're going to, I just went while we've been talking to a website to see if we could get into it, and we can't. It's super expensive, but whatrunswhere.com.
Oh, I've heard of this, yeah.
It's a website that gathers any banners and media that big companies are using.
Right.
They used to have a way to kind of sneak in, but they're a few hundred dollars a month just to get in there, so it's not really worth the effort or time to create an account and go in there. But what I wanted to do was show you that it's possible to get data on the media that your competitors are using to advertise their businesses. What Runs Where seems to have shifted to a paid-only model. But a simple Google search can help. So instead of, if you're going to do any paid traffic, conversion does come into play. So I think actually that's a smart place to go from here.
Okay.
What you want to do with paid traffic is go slowly. Set your budgets at $20 to $50 a day and optimize as you go. Now, if you're doing AdWords at $20 to $50 a day, your ads are going to be up for about 5 minutes, depending on your marketplace, of course. What I prefer to do is use alternative networks like buysellads.com. That's basically where you paste, get banners onto blogs in your marketplace. Blogads.com, I believe, is another one.
Okay. Now, is there a strategy change when you're doing paid versus free traffic? Because you've created your content specifically to get more traffic, do you have to think about it? Well, I got to create this one differently because it's going to be paid advertising?
Well, what you do is you add to your buying sequence. When you're doing content-based marketing, you can guide them wherever you want. Mm-hmm. You should guide to multiple inner pages of your website. So when doing content, you still can drive people to a squeeze page. I haven't, but I will be doing that in more markets. When you're paying for traffic, it's almost mandatory that you send them to a squeeze page of some sort. It's almost mandatory because if you capture that traffic, the odds of being able to turn it into money goes way, way up.
So often you're not sending to sell with an ad, you're sending to convert to your list.
To capture their data,
right,
and turn them into a customer over time. That's going to make you way more money than if you just send them to buy something, which is something that a lot of big companies do and they do wrong. Mm-hmm. It's bad because sending people to buy or leave is a very foolish thing to do when you're paying for traffic. It's literally like flushing money down the toilet. It's very important that you send the people to some place where your main goal is to capture their data and follow up with them.
Okay.
Because when you're paying for traffic, the whole philosophy changes. When you're doing content, basically what I want you to do is separate yourself as a seller for a moment and think of yourself as a customer. When was the last time you read something or watched a video that was incredible and either typed in a URL or clicked on a link and went and bought something? That's commonplace when you have content that can do the pre-selling and showing people how smart you are and how much you know your stuff. Mm-hmm. One of the key things I attempt to do when creating content for marketing is solve the problems that are going on in a prospect's head that are stopping them from buying my stuff. So a great example is my father's old business for selling menswear. Sizing yourself for a suit is problematic. Most of us just go to either a tailor or a menswear store, and they'll measure us. Mm-hmm. Well, you can do that, and that's a way to cheat, and that's fine, but instead, why not teach them how to do that at home? Most of us have something we can measure ourselves with, mm-hmm, and teach people how to do it the right way, and then remind them, hey, I just showed you how to do this stuff. I know how this stuff works, and I've got suits at great prices. I can help you.
So let me just repeat what I'm hearing here and make sure I've got it right. So content marketing and driving traffic to content is really kind of the second step of paid traffic, because paid traffic is to convert them content so that you can start delivering content to them and build the relationship. If it is free traffic, you still want to get them on a list, possibly, but more than likely what you're doing is building in the relationship already.
Well, what you have is already built relationship from the awesome content you put out. If you follow the steps that we've gone through, your content's going to be ahead above all your competition.
So it's like a 1-2 punch. And when you're adding paid advertising, you're actually coming up to, and I talked about this last week on another webinar, cold versus warm traffic. When you're doing warm traffic, people that know you already and want your content, you can talk to them in a different way than people who are cold to you and don't know you.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes, that changes everything, and that's the difference. Content-based traffic is warm, almost by nature.
Okay.
After viewing your content, you've warmed them. Remember also the attention span of the average person today. It's way lower than it used to be. When I first started doing this, I'd have people call me 6 months after buying one of my mattresses begging me to sell them more. That has changed. Now, I'm not selling mattresses anymore, but that has changed quite a bit. Now, if they read content, you have to have a strong call to action telling them, hey, I'm the one who can solve your problem. Look at what I just did for you. Come to me. Let me help you. Cold traffic, you want to capture their data because you have to bring them through that process of content marketing. You can literally take your content that you've posted all over the internet and you can use that as an email sequence to guide them through buying your product. And the best part about once you've captured their data, you can send them to your competition as an affiliate later if they don't like what you've got going
right.
on.
Right. So this is a really interesting and important distinction to me because I'm going to start doing a lot more paid advertising. And one of the reasons is because that I want to fill my funnel with a lot more new people. I do a lot of affiliate marketing and have a lot of joint ventures and a lot of affiliates in my system, but I also want to fill it with a lot of people who are not coming through affiliates, but also through the kind of through the sources that I find them with. So if those are going to be cold people to me, and when I get them into the system, if I put them into my regular funnel, my regular email funnel, start doing the broadcast emails to tell them what I've got for them and all that kind of stuff, they're going to run away from me until they get to know the kind of content, the kind of services that we offer, right?
Yes. If you throw it up in their face, here's something you can buy, buy it.
Yep.
That doesn't work as well as building the warmth and the warm and fuzzies
yep.
to get somebody's attention.
And that's gaining
that's
the trust.
That's a far smarter trust. Yes.
Okay.
So what I want to do before we get to conversion, because we're almost out of time, is talk about very briefly talk about three websites for paid traffic that are game changers.
Okay.
The first one is perfectaudience.com. This is called retargeting.
Yep.
Okay, so what this does, and I've got to keep this brief because I'm running out of time. What it does is that you put a little, it's a tracking pixel you put on your website, and whenever it gets loaded, it tags someone's browser. It tags their computer. When they leave your website, so let's say you've got a squeeze page up for paid traffic, people come to it and then they leave. They wouldn't come to that page if they weren't interested in what you do. So what this does is it tags them and it follows them around the internet wherever they go. So you have either banners or Facebook advertising through Perfect Audience. They give you a $60 credit. Unless you're getting mass volumes of traffic, your first campaign will be completely free. I made at least $3,000 off of my first $60 campaign.
Wow.
I just ran another one on my most recent product release, and I had 60 conversions from 125,000 banner impressions. I estimated my value for that at about $25 a piece. That's really difficult for me to explain, and we don't have time for it. So my cost so far has been $203.
Mm-hmm.
That's for over 2 weeks. A huge amount of traffic went to this website. I had some pretty strong affiliate support for this launch. And 60 times 25... So I made about $1,500 from a $200 spend.
Not a bad ROI.
Not at all.
Yeah. So just to put this in perspective for people, my wife and I were driving home yesterday from our visit to Florida, and we were talking about this very activity. And she said, you know, when I shop at Zappos, I see Zappos then everywhere on the internet, everywhere I go. And that's exactly what this is. They're kind of almost stalking you at that point.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And because of the frequency, meaning it's all over the place, everywhere you go, it works really
sure.
well. Eventually, people are like, why the hell are you following
right.
me? Sorry. potty mouth. why are you following me all over the internet? Mind you, you're also following them on Facebook.
Sure.
which is something Perfect Audience does that most others don't do. I recommend trying them as a network because, number one, you'll make way more money with your first campaign than you would with any other type of paid advertising. Number two, their competitors mostly require large deposits. Okay? So please use them. I actually wrote a blog post on this for a company that I work with called Isoosi, I-S-O-O-S-I.
Oh, sure, Eric's
company.
They're
another research tool.
Yeah.
Yes, I wrote an article on retargeting for them that was, I think, their most shared article yet. So, and it said the same thing that I'm saying to you. I have nothing to do with the company. I don't get anything for you using them. I think they blow every other competitor out of the water. The next two sites are really ISOOSI. It's another research tool, but I again, we don't have time to go into all the details.
Sure.
Outbrain.com. This is there we go. But their blog is where all the content is. They have some incredible writers, including myself. So Outbrain.com. If you go to PerezHilton.com, IGN.com, TheChive.com, I'm trying to think of really well-trafficked blogs. All of them use Outbrain on the bottom of every post to send traffic to other websites. It's a paid traffic network where basically your content will be posted on comparable websites, and it will get you more traffic. I don't know how expensive they are, but I know they're the network that controls it. And the last one I wanted to share, this one's really exciting, launchbit.com. That is, I don't know if you guys know it, but email traffic converts better than almost any other, even ads in emails. So if I send out a promotion on my list, that's going to do way better than posting to Facebook or Twitter or whatever. What LaunchBit does is it allows you to pay per click in emails. I've never seen anything quite like that network, and the results people are getting from it lately are through the roof.
Wow.
So, again, we're running out of time, so I want to talk about conversion-type stuff for the last few minutes, but take a glance at those, and depending on what your business looks like, at a minimum, you should implement Perfect Audience within the week. If that's the only thing you do from this, all the stuff we've gone through, implement Perfect Audience because it won't cost you anything unless you're getting very large amounts of traffic. Your first two-week campaign will be completely free.
Cool.
Okay, so now let's move over to some conversion stuff.
Okay. I'm ready.
So we talked about cold and warm traffic, and we've also established that you're selling to a situation. One thing, let me see if I can find this. One thing I do, I'm a freak when it comes to marketing stuff. I'm abnormal, and I acknowledge that. So what I do is I start noticing where I'm going through my day, and something impacts me. So I'll see a big old, not a banner, but billboard.
Uh-huh.
I'll see a billboard, and I'll look at it, and I turn to my wife, and there was a realtor. And we were in our car going over. We live in Cape Coral, Florida, which is an island, basically. Uh-huh. We were going over the bridge, and we're coming up, and I see this big old billboard, and there's a real estate agent showing her boobs. Not fully, but flashing way more cleavage than necessary. And I said, you know what? We're married. I would not buy a house from her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to see her boobs to buy from her. And we got this into this long conversation about how it was tacky and crappy, and that's bad advertising. So one of the things that I always focus on are words that help me. So if you Google power words, number two is boost blog traffic /power-words. This is my most swiped information. What it does is there's 317 words here, and they help me craft my content better. By crafting my content better, my conversions increase because it's made it easier for me to pull on the emotional strings of my audience. Agony is a word that I don't think of very often. Now, I read at least 3 books a week, so I have a very large vocabulary. Mm-hmm. But some of these things were things that hazardous. Another word that I didn't think of. If you Google power words, this should be the second result.
Yeah, I've got it on the page.
Vaporize.
You should be seeing it.
Now, let's talk about a conversion process, okay? So step one, you should Google whatever your keyword terms are and look at the copy of your competitors. That's the most important thing you can do, is investigate their stuff. If you can make your copy more compelling than them, ding, ding, you win. This is instead of challenging yourself to start at zero and write sales copy that's incredible, or creating a sales video that's incredible, all you need to do is beat them. There's something I want to give you. I don't think I can do it fast enough. Yeah, I can. Give me 1 second. David, I'm going to give you a link you can give them.
Okay.
For basically what I would call this is a sales copywriting cheat sheet. It was technically created for video sales letters, but it applies anywhere.
Especially since our
Ooh,
sites are...
even better, I can give you a link. I can give you a link. That makes it easier. Now, this is not mine. Okay. I'm going to send this to you in the chat.
Okay.
So this is the cheat sheet to writing a sales letter. And there's also an 8-part copy test. I do this anytime I write copy. And there are times where I'll leave out pieces, but this is your shortcut. So that takes out some of some of the frustration of creating sales copy. For those of you that don't know, Perry Belcher is one of the smartest marketers alive.
Yeah, he's a master at this.
I'm lucky enough to call him a friend. Yes. Well, people that have been around for a while remember him as building up a gigantic audience on Twitter in no time at all. But his true expertise is this guy he's wicked smart. He's actually one of the best copywriters alive. Mm-hmm. I have a sales letter that I edited that he's basically created, and it's my top performer.
There you go, 21 steps.
That is, yes, and they're really simple. You create either a few paragraphs or a few sentences for each one, and you're pretty much golden. You should be able to sell with that.
Outstanding.
So... There's and I have a swipe file so big you guys would blush at the thought of having to go through it. You know, it's taken me 8 years to build that thing up. But that is the best step-by-step sales letter creation strategy I've ever seen. And if you use those power words while you're writing, I literally keep that window open whenever I'm creating copy.
Put that link in here too. So
yeah, that's a good idea.
So on the conversion, when we talk about conversion, what kind of tracking do you do, and how do you do it?
I avoid Google when possible.
Yeah.
I usually use AW Stats because I found that it gives me enough data to be dangerous, and that's built right into my server.
Okay.
Most of you will have that built into your web host. I don't need anything more detailed than that. I keep things simple where possible. You know, there are all kinds of services you could use. CrazyEgg gives you a heat map of where people are clicking on your website. I don't need all that.
Okay.
It's just unnecessary.
And
you can use Google Analytics. I have a love-hate thing with Google. If I ever went to their main location, I'd probably be put in jail.
So when you're looking at your stats, what are you looking for?
I'm looking for random locations that traffic may be coming from. I'm looking for keywords that I may be ranking for without knowing, which through Google Analytics you won't even get anymore. Basically, I'm looking for the hidden gold. If there's a keyword term that I'm on page 3 for and I'm getting 50 visits a month from it, I need to change that. So that's what I look for pretty much all of my websites. And for me, it's really like a monthly thing. It's not the kind of thing you should look at every day. That's silly. It's flat-out foolish. I see stat junkies all the time who are sitting, and honestly, I fall into this. This I'm not as good at not doing. But I have PayPal notices come to my phone, so every time there's a sale, my phone goes off, and I get curious, and I want to go look. But if you're tracking too much, you're just wasting time and life on things that aren't important. Mm-hmm. So having that data is important, viewing it is important, but becoming a junkie is not. So don't be silly. You don't want to do that. I'd strongly recommend building some forcing yourself to stay out of the stat junkie things of checking your phone every 5 minutes to see if an order came through. Those things are going to happen when they happen. You can't change it in the next 5 minutes. That's the kind of thing you set up over time.
Yeah, I started using the split tester on a recent promotion, and it was a WordPress split tester that I was using, just an A-B split tester, to compare sales letter headlines and stuff. And I had it set up wrong, and the most information I got from the split tester was that I had the wrong URL in there. That was incredibly helpful for me to watch that in the beginning to get that fixed really quickly so that I didn't let it run for the entire term of the launch. That's where it can save your life if you just look at it in the beginning.
Oh, sure. Well, I use a WordPress plugin called Mist for split testing. Mm-hmm. I don't test as often as I should. I profess its amazingness because here's the deal. As marketers, we think we know our audience, but the truth is they know themselves way better.
Did you say Mist?
Mist, M-I-S-T.
Okay.
I believe it's publicly available still. Okay. I don't think it was one of those launch and pull it off the market type things, but I'm not 100% sure. While I know plenty, I know enough to get in my own way.
Oh, I understand.
I can write copy, incredible copy that I think is amazing, that all my and mind you, I'm connected to some of the best copywriters under the sun. Mm-hmm. And they'll look at it and they'll say, it looks good, dude. You might want to add this or this. But it looks okay. I'd test it. That's always what they say. And the truth is, I don't always test, but every time I do, something incredible happens. I'm 100% wrong about what I think the results are.
Well, the thing that I've also noticed is that what people say versus what they do is always completely different. And so,
well, and that's why I advise against using surveys. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, think about it this way. Number one, you're taking up time that people don't have. You know, we're all busy. And the people that answer it and go through your survey are the ones that care so much about your opinion that they're not going to answer from their heart. They're going to answer from what they think you want to hear.
So numbers are always the best feedback, I think.
I agree.
Okay.
150%.
Okay. So to improve your conversions, what kind of things do you do?
Well, think of your sales copy as a slide. You want it to be as slippery as possible to get them to the end where they make the decision. So if you have something, I actually had a guy contact me because I put up a webinar replay, and I put it up without a play bar, but with a, you know, you could pause it, because I wanted people to watch through the whole webinar because it was done like sales copy. He had the period where he proved himself. He gave incredible content. It was one of the most valuable webinars I've done in a long time. And then he gave an offer to simplify what he taught everyone, which was software. Mm-hmm. So some guy said, you know, these two guys, they put up a play bar for me so I can go through it as fast as I want, and I just unsubscribe from your list because you don't respect my time. Mm-hmm. And at first I got angry because that's my initial response to things like that. And then I thought, you know what? This guy obviously doesn't do what I do. Because the truth is, I've tested that extensively, and it does not work. If you give the audience the play bar, they don't watch all the way through, so they miss very important pieces of a sales conversation. Mm-hmm. So, in making the video as slippery as possible, I took the play button out. And I got to tell you, it's one of my best promotions of the year in doing that. And I only got one complaint from one person that I think is a dummy. Mm-hmm. So, my point in telling you this story is that you need to abide by certain standards. I was so silly when I first started my business. I hated squeeze pages.
Right.
I hated having to give my email to anybody, so I didn't use them. It cost me probably 30,000 people on my email list.
Yep.
Easily 30,000 people. Easily. Maybe even more. And then add in all the testing stuff that I did with my email list, trying to figure out what they wanted from me, which now I know hands down. But for years, I tested anything that made sense and knocked another 50,000 people off my email list. So what I've got is a list of 5,000 people today.
Mm-hmm.
5,000. Now, some of them have been my customers for 7 years. And I can blow 100,000 person email list out of the water with the right product.
Yeah, now see, I'm hearing that over and over from people that people had. We had on, Jason Benoit. You know Jason Benoit.
Yes, I do.
We had on Jason Benoit talking about list building and using solo ads to do it and those kind of things and other things. And Jason told us that he actually took his six figure list and purposely culled those down to less than 10,000 because he was making more money by focusing on those 10,000 people.
Yep. Well, it's not about quantity, it's about
sure.
quality. But list building is something I should never, ever talk about. So my point in telling you this story is that if it's working for someone else, odds are it's going to work for
right.
you. If you're in a niche market and you employ the strategies that I'm using in internet marketing, they'll work for you a dozen times better because your competition either doesn't know me or isn't smart enough to pay attention.
Right.
So if you can take what people who are selling you internet marketing or business building stuff and apply it into a niche-based market, your results will be 10 times better than mine.
So our friend Jack Bourne calls this frictionless sales funnel. And that's exactly what you're talking about, removing the friction from the sales funnel.
Absolutely. Yep.
Ross, anything else? We're coming to the end here, and I want to make sure that we respect your time and everybody else's, and you have just loaded us with a ton of great information today.
I could have gone into so much more detail on so many different things. It's hard to talk about this kind of thing, but I my goal in this conversation was to give you a complete picture. And I know I went on some tangents and told some stories and things like that.
Which is good.
And I really enjoyed being here with you guys.
I appreciate that too.
I appreciate all the questions that came through, and I had a lot of fun.
Good. So before we let you go, though, I want you to be sure and tell people how to get in touch with you. We saw ross-goldberg.com. What else?
Yes. If you need to contact me directly, you can go to my Contact Us page. I believe my 800 number is on there. You can call me and I answer the phone.
Excellent.
Otherwise, you can connect with me on any social media website. If you Google my name, you'll see it all.
You have been, once again, incredibly generous, and I really, really appreciate it. Now, I want your comment about this, too, before we go, because I want to tell people what's going to happen in the second part, which starts in 2 hours from now. We have the first part, which we call discovery. The second part is implementation. So in the second part today, I'm going to go over this spreadsheet that I am putting together for you guys with a different a kind of a weekly traffic system for you so that we can figure out how you can modify this spreadsheet to build a guide to and a plan for driving as much traffic as possible into your site and building out your funnels, and to build out your visitor list and your sales. Now that's the point, is to get as many people in and as much sales as possible. So this afternoon we'll focus on these things. We have a load of tools listed in here that and opportunities for you to drive into different locations. We'll customize this for you. You'll leave this afternoon with a plan that you want to follow. And this is not by any means the end-all be-all. It is a starting point for you to customize your own site and your own traffic. Okay? Ross, does this look like it's something that would be helpful to people?
The one thing we didn't discuss was press releases. And I see them there, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
Outside of that, it's basically anything listed there is the kind of thing we talked about. We didn't talk a lot about social media. I mean, there's so much. We could have talked for another 4 hours.
Well, it
and still might not have.
It all blends together to me. I mean, social media and email and everything is all part of your multi-pronged strategy for getting more people to your site.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's all important. Yep. So I think it looks phenomenal.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Ross, again, and enjoy the rest of your day. And you're going on a cruise tomorrow. Enjoy that, my friend, with your family.
And I have no doubt we will. I will be drunk. So I am looking forward to that, because that's not something I do much anymore. I won't be happy come Monday, but I'll be drunk most of this weekend. So think of me, call me, and
have a great time.
We will try. Thank you guys for having me, and I will see you hopefully at both of the upcoming
NAMMs. Oh, I would love that. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.